the stars whose handiwork I see. On the wind he speaks with majesty. Though he ruleth over land and sea, what is that to me? I will celebrate nativity, for it has a place in his story. Sure he came to set his people free, what is that to me? Till by faith I met him face to face, and I felt the wonder of his grace. Then I knew that he was more than just a God who didn't care, who lived away up there. Now he walks beside me day by day, ever watching on me lest I stray, helping me to find a narrow way. He's everything to me. Till I think I met him face to face, and I felt the wonder of his grace. Then I knew that he was more than just a God who didn't care, who lived away up there. Now he walks beside me day by day, ever watching on me lest I stray, helping me to find the narrow way. He's everything.
The true Christian message, isn't it? That God is very present and very nearby. Now, the religious faith called deism says, indeed, there was some God who created everything. And then when he set in motion all the laws of nature, then he became transcendent, far removed from his creation. And we can neither know him or feel him. And he has no more interest in us as creatures. He is transcendent and unknowable. Well, that's deism. That's not Christianity. Christianity says, indeed, God made all of these things in the beginning. He spoke the worlds into existence. But he is very much aware of everything. And not only does he know everything, but he cares. And that's the Bible. Psalm 46, verse 1, and how many verses and chapters tell us this very thing. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I don't believe in deism. I don't believe that God is far removed and untouchable and unknowable and transcendent above everything and we can not know him. I believe in Christianity, that God became flesh and dwelt among us. And through the miracle of the Incarnation, Christ Jesus was born in the little town of Bethlehem, and God dwelt among us. And we can know him. And we can believe that God knows us and feels for us. He knows our every hurt. He sees our successes and our defeats. He knows our joys and our sadnesses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This is John Thrasher, and this is certainly one of the things that I endeavor to tell you and share with you day after day, is the fact that God is a very present help. In all the things that happen, and all the things that befall us, and all of the situations of life, God is there. What would we do if we didn't believe that? What do people do as they're trying to eke out an existence and keep their head above water? What do they do? if they don't believe in God, and I'm not just talking about believing in some deity who lives far removed somewhere. I'm talking about the God of the Scriptures, the Savior who came and died on the old rugged cross. To believe in Him, to receive Him into our hearts and lives, to have an intimacy with God, to walk and talk with Christ, and find Him a very present help in trouble. Well, that's why I enjoy these moments of devotions that I can share with you, and together just glorify the name of Christ. Glorify the God, the Lord Jehovah, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Let's worship Him today, shall we? To Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. It may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. It may be I must carry the blessed word of life across the burning deserts to those in sinful strife. And though it be my lot to bear my colors there, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. But if it be my portion to bear my cross at home, while others bear their burdens beyond the billow's foam, I'll prove my faith in Him, confess His judgments fair, and if He stays with me, I'll stay anywhere. It is not mine to question the judgments of my Lord. it is but mine to follow the leadings of his word. But if to go or stay, or whether here or there, I'll be with my Savior content anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me where'er I may be if he is there. I count it a privilege here his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Maybe you recognize those words as being an old hymn. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Written by C. Austin Miles, the same one who wrote In the Garden, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. The same author. Well, certainly, this is the faith of the Christian. And this is where we find our contentment. It's not in getting all the things that I want and being just where I want to be and doing just what I want to do, but it is in being submissive to God's will, in saying yes to him, and knowing that the Lord is with me. That's where true contentment is found. And whether you be across the seas or at home, whether you be out working hard or sitting with an invalid all shut in, wherever you may be, you can be content if you know Jesus is there. And didn't he say, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world? I'm talking about true contentment. Not getting my own way, not having everything that I want in life, but being submissive to God's will. And if he blesses me and does for me just the things I'm wanting and I see my dreams fulfilled, then I praise him. But if other things happen and I become disappointed in not realizing the things that my heart really wants, then we are still to find our contentment in him. Didn't the Apostle Paul say that in Philippians chapter 4? And you know, he was in prison there in Rome, Italy, when he wrote that letter. He said, I know what it is to be exalted, what it is to be abased, what it is to be full, what it is to be hungry. But I've learned, wherever I am, in whatever state, I have learned to be content. And he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where our contentment is. Now you think about how many people, their contentment's not with the Lord. It's not being submissive to his will. And think how many people have all the luxuries that the heart could wish. I mean thousands, millions of dollars, luxuries, life on a silver platter, and they are among the most miserable people in all the world. How many children grow up in an affluent home, having everything paid for them, life given to them on a silver platter, as it were, spoiled rotten, totally miserable, because that's not where our happiness is. It's not in things, it's not in stuff, it's not in material items. It's having a heart for God. That's pure and simple. That's where it is. I wonder why it takes so long for us to learn that. To know that real happiness and peace and joy and satisfaction and fulfillment is found only in doing God's will, saying yes to him. Walking close to God is not in all the things that we can accumulate to ourselves, but it is in falling in love with the lover of our soul, with the Lord Jesus, the precious Son of God, to love him, to live for him, to be consecrated, to lay everything on the altar, and to serve him unreservedly, without restraint, no strings attached, nothing hid in some closet that we're ashamed to bring out, but everything above board, open, totally committed and surrendered to God, that spells happiness, gladness, fulfillment. Lord Jesus, fill our hearts today with your peace and joy and love. And whatever may be happening in our lives today, good or bad, with life's events and situations, cause us to realize that our true peace and happiness is found in doing your will, loving God, and enjoying Him forever. I love it when someone is out looking for a job and they give my name as a reference. And I know that person and I know how dependable they are. I love it to be able to fill out that questionnaire and let the possible boss know that this lady or this gentleman is certainly reliable, dependable, and of good character. And I love to be able to do that. If I really believe in that individual and I know them well enough that I can give them an excellent reference with no hesitation, well, that's how I feel about God. If you ask me, is he trustworthy? Can I depend on him? Then I love being able to talk to you morning after morning after morning, to reaffirm the fact that, yes, indeed, God is trustworthy, and you can count on him. Let me quickly tell you six things that God will never do. He will never sleep. Psalm 121, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He who keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he who keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. You think of how many things have been lost because someone who was guarding it went to sleep. Or how many times the enemy came in upon the others because the one doing sentry duty fell asleep. God never sleeps. Secondly, he never forgets. Isaiah chapter 49, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God will never forget. Even a loving mother who loves her little baby so much, and yet she is human, and she gets tired, and there may be times that momentarily she may forget that little baby. Maybe not often, but it can happen. But God says, that'll never happen to me. I'll never forget you. Thirdly, he will never leave you. Hebrews 13, verse 5, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Fourthly, he never remembers past sins which have been truly repented of. And that's a good thought as we're thinking of things that God will never do. He will never remember past sins which have been truly repented of. Jeremiah 31, verse 34, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Isaiah 43, verse 45, I, even I, am he who blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Fifthly, he never fails. God never fails. Isaiah 42, verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set justice in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Number 6, he never loses sight of us. Psalm 139, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Now, isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that give you cause for rejoicing and peace and happiness today? Just think of the things that God will never do. He will never sleep. He will never forget you. He will never leave you. He will never remember past sins truly repented of. He will never fail you, and he will never lose sight of you. God ever cares, not only in life's summer, when skies are bright and days are long and glad, but in the bitterness of winter and when things are dark and hard, he's still there. And because of his faithfulness and dependability, we can be assured that he will finish the work he has begun. Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it or finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That word uttermost means completely. He is able to save us completely when we come to God by him, because he ever lives to make intercession for us. He is able to finish the work that he has begun. The psalmist said in Psalm 94, verse 18, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. And furthermore, because of his faithfulness and dependability and reliability, God hears the distressing cry of his children. I think that is a beautiful thought. Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Now just think for a moment, in that little fishing boat, when the storm was raging there on the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples scared to death, thinking any moment the ship was going to fill up with water and sink to the bottom, and everyone be lost, and Jesus was asleep. He slept through the storm, but awoke at the distressing cry for help from his disciples. And there on the cross, he ignored the curses, but responded to the cry for help. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Because he ever hears the distressing cry of his children. I love this verse, Isaiah 46, verse 9. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. I'm so happy to be able to tell you time after time again, dear friend, there is a Savior who cares and understands and loves you. And the wonderful things that he will do for you if you will only trust him and believe in him and let him do it. But you have to let him do it. You can't close your heart's door. But there is healing in his hands. Let the hands of Jesus touch you today, wherever you may be. There's healing in his hands. Do you believe that? Oh, trust God with all your heart today. Let him lift your heavy burden. Let him take the sadness away. Fill your heart with joy and gladness. Bring forgiveness of all your sins. And fill your heart with peace. There's healing in his hands. Let's trust him and believe him. Praise God. These moments that we can share together in morning devotions. Thanks for listening. My time is gone. This is John Thrasher. Have a good day. Walk with God. Love him with all your heart. There is no other way to live, is there? But you know that, don't you?